I wasn't even planning on doing an album. I just wrote a song bored one day, and I was like, oh my God, I still kind of got it in me. And then like I kept wrote another one. I wrote it, I was like, I'm gonna write an album.
This is Champagne is Also a Band podcast. One songwriter, one song. I'm Sven, your host for a journey into the music of Champaign-Urbana. Recorded in the Blue Box Studio with a songwriter from the Champaign-Urbana music scene, past or present. Champagne is Also a Band podcast is proud to be a part of the Champagne Showers podcast network. Welcome to Champagne is Also a Band podcast. Today, I have Andrew Wehner, and you may know Andrew Wehner from such bands as Disrupting the Abacus, Andros, A Waning Rain, and Blade Spell with Adam Porter, which you may know from episode 26. So, Andrew, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, my friend.
So today, we're going to be listening to the title track off of the album Initiation, which was released in November of 23. So without further ado, let's listen to the song.
Let it rip.
Welcome back. So, of course, my first and favorite question to always ask is, what came first? Was it the music or was it the lyrics?
For me, the lyrics are always last and a complete afterthought for anything that I do. I start with drums for every project.
Really?
Yes, I start with drums. I basically either write the entire drum track without even thinking about guitar sometimes. I'll just sit at a computer for hours. Obviously, I'm not a drummer. I don't play drums. I'm a MIDI drummer, quote unquote.
Sure.
You know? I just sit there and just write and write and write and write and write. And then once it's about anywhere from, you know, 2 to 3 minutes in a structured to the way I like it, then I'll move in with guitar, move in with bass, then do the keys. I'm not even thinking of a song to have a theme until everything is tracked but the vocals. And then I'll listen to that song maybe, you know, a couple hundred thousand times, and I'll piece it all together.
That I would never think that it's based on the drum part. Mm-hmm. As the, I mean, obviously the drums are kind of the skeleton to any music piece. It's interesting, yeah, that you start with the skeleton first, but that makes sense, right? You start with the frame of the house first, but that's just a really, I would never have expected that. I would have thought that it would have been probably the guitar, just because it seemed, well, I mean, bar chord driven kind of sound. Wow. Okay. So let's even look at this from the perspective of starting initiation. So what was the drum part that you were working on? I want to say, because the part that is just so, has so much really cool energy is like at that outro to this song, has this really, like, I don't know what to even describe it, because it's like, it even fits, like the synth is really good in it, and it just kind of, the point and counterpoint, they like kind of dodge in and out, and I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, so I should let you answer before I just throw everything.
Like I said, I start with the drums. I have an idea of what guitar rhythms I want to play in my head, and when I write the drums, I kind of have like a straightforward approach. There's not much, like, I kind of bare bones it until it's a full song. Then I'll jam over it quite a bit. You know, I'll have to go into the drums later and make a drum pattern for this part where there just have been a generic pattern there to begin with. And then I'll write a guitar part over a generic, you know, quote unquote generic drum pattern. Then I'll realize, you know, I want this and this and this and this to change within the cymbals, the toms, the kick to fit the guitars better or to complement against them. And I don't do people not approach music this way, or am I just a wild?
I don't think that it's necessarily like everybody has to start somewhere, right?
100%, so right.
And let's also point out that the unique factor is that this is all you. You've constructed this through doing multiple takes and playing each of the different instruments or programming each of the different instruments.
Correct. Let's start from the beginning where I played guitar in a band called Disrupting the Abacus. We played for about 6 years together. And I moved out here in 2016, and I stopped being a part of I just didn't do anything musically anymore. I just had the itch last year to just start writing metal again. You know, the problem is availability of people. Having a drummer willing to be exactly what you want them to be at the time you want them. I just wanted to start learning how to do it all myself. And I just started fiddling around my bedroom one day. Just, I bought a drum program. I bought a bass. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to learn all this shit. I want to just do it myself. I want to sound like a full band, but fake it.
I completely get that. Especially if, I don't know, maybe I'm going to put a little bit of myself in this interpretation here.
Sure. But
sometimes in the process of composition, there's a certain obsession with, this is how my mind is playing this out, and I kind of want to see the pure vision expressed. And for me, the only way to do that is have myself do everything exactly the way that I want.
100%.
So
yes. Now, where I like feedback from other people,
don't
get me wrong. Like,
yeah,
I feel like I fell short on some parts of my album just because I didn't have a real lead guitar player. I'm throwing up air quotes here. His thought process, his mindset, his input to create those extra lead layers that I normally would not have as I'm a rhythm guitar player at the end of the day. And I'm a dog shit guitar player at the end of the day. So I like to have someone who's way better than me around to compliment. I did not have that on this album, and that was a challenge. And obviously, there's no ripping leads besides my buddy's guest solo, CJ, on track 5, I believe it is. I just don't have that guitar wild man ability, which I always wanted, but I recognize where my skill is. So I don't try to push it beyond much anymore, if that sounds crazy.
I will say, though, that for me, sometimes as a poor guitarist, you can get lucky. So in part of that recording process, you can get that one take that's just exactly right, and somehow you flubbed it in there, it happened. That's part of the beauty of being able to just kind of capture that chunk of good and then be able to repeat it as necessary within the piece. I feel like the actual jumping to the end conclusion of what was intended is kind of the goal, right? So you want to have what is your vision, however the process comes out. So
sure.
I don't know, sometimes people will say, well, that's not, you know, if you can't all just play it out live, I mean, you could probably teach everybody to play those parts and they could do it.
Yep.
But
I couldn't even play
really
those parts again right now.
Right.
I'm serious, because the way I write is I go section by section. And uh-huh. I, like you said, meticulous kind of, did I play it right? No, did I play it right? Is it okay? All right, I'll leave that there for now. And then sure. I'll move on to the next part. And it's kind of like, I'll have a song written starting from the end first. And then I'll go to the beginning. And then I'll go to the, I'm all over the freaking place, dude. And it's kind of crazy. But I'll even do that, like, I'll write half of a song and then write three more songs. And then just kind of sure. bounce all over the place, and at the end of the day I wind up with something finished. So I couldn't play anything live is what I'm trying to get at. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't, if I really sat there and learned all my parts, which I know all my guitar parts obviously, and I know the whole, all the, you know, vocals and stuff, but I couldn't play these songs on drums.
That's the MIDI part too,
right.
It's like you could be having the MIDI play the ride cymbal all the way through at the same time as hitting the snare, which is something that doesn't happen when, you know, because, well, you're limited by how many hands you have.
Correct.
Or feet.
Yes.
So
I need a drummer for this to ever hit the any kind of live setting.
When you construct your drum parts, I was thinking and I'm listening, I'm like, okay, so you're creating this, when you're in 4-4, you're actually creating this kind of 3-3-2 beat. Do you think about music in that way, or are you just like, I have this groove, it's in my head, and then you're like, this is how I should write it? Or do you sit there and you're like, okay, I'm going to do 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2. Like, I'm curious.
There's
about
a lot of both of that.
Oh, okay.
Truthfully,
okay.
And like, I have a lot of ideas that just come to me when I'm nowhere near a guitar and or a computer for that matter, and I'm like, oh wow, that's a really cool riff idea or something. But then at the end of the day, sometimes I can't even translate it properly to my guitar or the drums or whatever, and I wind up with something completely different, which when I was trying to approach what I thought was what I wanted, and then I come up with something completely different, which is acceptable but not quite the original idea that I had, and I just roll with it a lot of the times. Like, it's wild, dude. Like, sometimes I'll come up with something and I'll be able to program it perfectly. Sometimes I run into an issue where I have a struggle just physically being able to program what I thought. Like, it's not working. I'm listening into it over and I can't find the tempo, I can't find it's just not working. So I scrap it and kind of build from that. And I wound up with something that I still like. So it's like I'm playing with Legos, dude. Like,
sure.
When I'm writing music, I'm in a big box of Legos and like, here's the drum, deep, and then whatever. If I get something cool, it works. And if I don't, I can knock it down and rebuild it.
When you were constructing this album, Initiation, when you said Legos, a light went off in my head and I said, did you ever take one part from one of the other songs and throw it into
100%,
the other?
Okay. Yeah. So like, okay. Drum parts have left certain songs and gone to others. Certain riffs I've realized would work better here and there.
Okay.
It's wild how it all works. Truly, it comes together in pieces over time, like building like a model car. Like, literally, you start at one point, you obviously have to build the frame, then you build the outer shell, and then you paint it, and you polish it, and you add all the little flares up at the end. And
when you first described working on Initiation, you said that you'll work on something, you'll put down the drums, and when it's like, I've got 2 or 3 minutes, you're like, well, there's a song, and then I kind of felt that after a while, even though you had these 2 to 3 minute sections,
sure,
you ended up pasting all, is it 12 tracks?
It is 12. I forget. Okay. No, that's crazy.
I know. Maybe it's 14, but I mean,
I think it's 13.
Oh, well, that would
it's 12 or 13. I should know on my own freaking album.
No, it's okay. It explains it if you're kind of taking parts and trading them, that when you do that, you end up with something that ends up being more of a straight line from track 1 to track 12, where you can't help but use motifs that you're using in
song.
One song into another.
Yep.
You know, maybe that seems like you're playing mix and match, which you are, but
essentially,
you end up with something that is referential to itself and therefore makes a more cohesive album. You don't end up with what is more of a collection of a series of bangers. You end up with something that tells a story from beginning to end.
100%. And that's kind of how I've always approached the writing process. I'm very meticulous about song order. Once I have all 12 songs written, I am listening to those 12 songs and I'm playing with them in a, like, you know, music program, figuring out the order. Like, I truly believe I will figure out the organic order of any track list, how in it should be. I feel like that takes time and effort and like really listening and feeling like how we want the album to feel. Like, I believe it should have like a banger intro, you know, then you're one of your biggest, best songs right off the rip. Get them going fast, heavy. Keep them interested for a few songs with some half fast, heavy shit. Slow it down with like a interlude kind of heavy thing, but without vocals. Rip right back into it. And then I'll slow down a little bit before the end banger. So it's like it's a roller coaster. I like it to be like,
sure,
I like a few tracks to chill you the fuck out. Yeah. It should be chaos all the way, but I like some elements of beauty within metal.
Yeah. Funny that you said that, because I think the thing that I like about the instrumentation that is created, or even just the melodic structure that's within Waning Rain, is that you have some of the really, I don't know, distorted guitar parts. When something gets so distorted that it's almost like you don't necessarily, like the ear doesn't necessarily hear it. They hear it as more percussion than they hear it as a pitch.
100%.
But then I love the element of the synthesizer over the top of it. Instead of it just being like punchy right in the face, it has a certain like, I'm really angry, but I'm also really hurt.
I like it to have feeling, some kind of,
yeah,
I don't, you get it, man. Like, you know, it's like, I kind of approach it with a lot of things I listen to as well. I like straight, heavy chaos, whatever, but I also almost need it to have that element of beauty mixed within, like really catchy riffs, really catchy vocal structures, just really, I don't know, stuff that just gives you kind of goosebumps. Like, I feel like if it's just straight blast beats for 5 minutes, you lose something there. Like, it's there, yes, awesome, this is sick, hell yeah, for 3 minutes, blast beats, bruh, whatever, yes, the whole, but like, I like that too, but something gets lost there for me as a listener. I appreciate it. I love it. I want to emulate that in terms of like what I write too. But like, I don't know. I mean, almost like pop elements. Of
sure.
It, but like more catchy and evil. But like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to explain it. You know what I'm saying?
Melodic, like, but minor, obviously.
But not over the top where it's just like shredding and soloing and just like chaos. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of like it to be more like simplified riffs and like nothing too overly complicated, but that also sits in my skill set of where I can what I can actually achieve on a guitar.
You say that, but then you do have some complicated rhythms going in and out where
rhythms for sure.
I mean,
Yeah,
but I mean,
the riff.
But you'll add your melody will focus on more of the syncopation within the rhythm that I think. Just, I mean, honestly, there are some parts in this that you could pull out and be like, this is a hip hop like beat. Like,
there's
At the end of this one, I feel like there is I was almost like, you could pull that out. Somebody could sample that and just use that as a beat for, I mean,
I appreciate that.
Who feels like doing that, please contact Andrew and do that. 'Cause I'd love to hear that.
I would love that as well. As I told you, I started initiation from the ground up backwards. Drums, guitar, bass, synth, and then vocals at the end. While everything was written without the vocals, I had to figure out what kind of direction I wanted to go with the theme of the album, because that was a complete afterthought. Like I said, I wrote like maybe 8 songs. I wasn't even planning on doing an album. I just wrote a song bored one day and I was like, oh my God, I still kind of got it in me. And then like, I kept wrote another one. I wrote, I was like, I'm gonna write an album. Like, I don't care. I'm just gonna try to write a whole full length album by myself. No help, recorded, written, everything by myself in my freaking bedroom with just my eyes, my ears, my hands, whatever. I wanted to achieve that. I got like 8 songs written and I was at the point where like, okay, this is almost getting serious. I'm going to need artwork, a name, I want this to be a real album. I am from the south side of Chicago. I grew up right by Midway Airport. I got a lot of friends up north that I still, you know, am in contact with. My main friend group is up north, and we're all a bunch of crazy lunatics. You know, it's just, we joke around. We know what we know from growing up in the neighborhood we grew up in, and Initiation is basically inspired by a lot of inside jokes between me and my friend group up in Chicago, a lot of real life situations that have happened, not to me per se, but situations we've known about as a friend group, just living in that neighborhood, you know, legends of the neighborhood, like little stories, all that kind of good stuff, quirks that make our neighborhood what it was. Initiation is a serious, but almost like a joke album in a way. It's serious as when you look at it. The writing process, I needed a theme. I didn't have a name for the album or a name for the project while writing. It was just a writing process. There was no like thought like, hey, I'm going to write this album about all these stories from my neighborhood and all my, you know, inside jokes I have with my friends and all that stuff. That wasn't the approach going into it. The approach was, I want to write some fucking sick ass breakdowns. And that's all I wanted to do. I was like, I just want to write sick parts. And like, I wound up piecing them into songs, which I was like, all right, I actually want to like have bass and synth, and like I want to do vocals over this. Like, I hear what I want to be put over it. It took me a while to figure out, you know, a name for the album and a name for the project. And, you know, I think that's one of the hardest parts when you're kind of just starting from the ground up as nothing. You're a nobody, you know, you have nothing, and you want to release songs. To me, your identifier is like the number one hardest damn thing to do. You know, I've always had a problem finding my alias or my name, and it's just a lot of thought, and I wound up just sticking with something because, like, all right, I am sick of thinking about this. I am just going to pick something and roll with it. That's kind of how Disrupting the Abacus was. We didn't have a band name for a long time in my first band, and we were sick of not having a band name, and my drummer just said that phrase one day, and I was just like, you know what? We're just going to keep it. I don't care anymore. And it was literally that, no special story beyond just a random thought. And I said, run it, because I don't want to think about this anymore. So at some point it became, you say Disrupting the Abacus 47,000 times and you know it. It's like, that's what it is now. It's not, you don't even think about it, how dumb of a band name or whatever it is. It's like, that's the identifier. That's it. I'm okay with that. As, you know, as long as you could present it somewhat cool looking, I feel like it's a win for any musician trying to make a name for themselves or trying to create a band name. It's I think it's tough. Initiation is a song about like a teenage dude that wanted to become a gangbanger. He wanted to become a gangbanger at the end of this. So this is like a, it's an inside joke about someone we know. This actually happened, but it's more poking fun at the idea of the mindset behind someone who grew up in a bad neighborhood and was doing bad shit as a youngster. And that's just, it hits home in a way. It's just how our neighborhood was. There was just, in the 90s, it was just wild. And at the end of the day, it's only funny to my friend group, like really funny. Okay. To anyone else, it's just, it is what it is. And I understand that no one's really going to get it the way we do.
Right.
But you may, and that's cool, and you may not, and that's also cool. But it's basically the story of a teenage dude who wanted to become a gangbanger. He went through with it. He wanted to join up the cool gang, whatever. And when you join a gang, you usually get initiated. So he went to his initiation, and they lined him up and threw bats at him to get him for him to join the gang. So like, it's just an old joke where this kid, we grew up, would say he joined a gang because they lined him up and they threw bats at him, which we all know was bullshit. Okay, but it's just the idea behind it. If you just picture it and just how funny and stupid it sounds, it's kind of never left us.
Right.
I rolled with these just dumb little inside jokes that me and my friends made, but it's based off a real thing, but poked fun of and twisted up a little bit just to kind of, so, and the whole album kind of works that way. He slowly, if you really listen to read all the lyrics and how the song structure goes, it's just his journey through being an idiot, going to like house parties, whatever, yada yada yada, just doing dumbass shit, robbing stores, jumping fences, yada, until he finally, at the end of the album, Dome Clack, he robs a store, chased by the cops, slips on the railroad tracks, hits his head, and that's that. Like, it's basically a story from front to finish of bad decisions and what happened to him because of those bad decisions. There's a little bit of a lesson to be learned there. Not direct, not like you should learn like type of lesson, but it's there's subtle, just if you fuck up, you fuck up. You know, if you do make stupid decisions, you're gonna end up with stupid answers.
You know, the way that you describe it, I can tell looking at your face that you're just like, yeah, we watched this guy and he just it's like the obviousness of how silly it was, but yet in the same way there's this strange desperation, but also like that's pretty horrible to just be like, in order to feel like part of something, I have to get these bats thrown at me and like go through something kind of awful.
Sure. And it's like saying wild shit like that, I think fits the theme of what metal really is too. At the end of the day, it's chaotic music. My intention is not to promote chaos. I'm just encompassing it, if that makes any sense. Harnessing the chaos that exists around us. But I don't want to, like, I'm not saying, hey, go be a gangbanger, hey, go rob stores. That's not my approach. I'm kind of like poking fun at the mindset behind it, if that makes any sense. But also, like,
well, I mean,
it's embracing it at the same time. It's weird. It's like,
well, it's telling a story, but also in having a certain satirical part to it.
100%. Right. Yeah. So it's like, it's serious, but like, not that serious.
In the end, you're just, you have to kind of shrug and say like, well, what can you do? But it did happen.
Right. You know, I don't listen to every band there is when it comes to metal. It's such a broad genre with 40 billion subgenres, and I can't even keep track sometimes. And there's elements of this I'll like and elements of that I'll like. But this style then, with the approach of almost like rap and hip hop a little bit mindset going behind it, it's obviously there's like Limp Bizkit and then like all that stuff in the early 90s that kind of fueled that whole like hip-hop metal collab kind of feel vibes and stuff, and like I didn't want that. I wanted it to sound like metal ish through and through at the end of the day, but like deathcore or like metalcore, all those elements of like the shit that popped off from like, you know, 2005 to 2015, that whole era of like, there was so much that happened there in terms of metal. There was a lot of the, you know, synthcore shit, and then there's a lot, just it branched off so crazy around there, I feel like. And I don't know, I have always just like elements from all these different genres. There's no real like, oh, I want to sound like this band, or oh, I want to sound like that band. Like, that part's sick. I would love to, you know, do something like that.
I always like to say, what is my favorite part? And then I'm going to ask you what your favorite part of this song is. So I want to say, like, my favorite part is actually, well, there's a lot of cool interlacing, like, rhythms that are happening that I really enjoy. But I think one of the more effective parts, well, I'll even bring out that on a broader scheme, the pauses, the drops are probably my favorite, but my favorite drop is the one where it's just before it jumps into the whole I fucked up
and that's
the outro.
And I'll be real, yours with me there. That's my favorite part is the whole ending sequence, because it just, I don't know, man. It's what I like to hear. That's what's seriously, if I found that like on a tape somewhere, I'd be like, I'm not talking myself up. It's just like, what? I'm like, man, I love this. Who the hell is this band? I have to listen to you. And that's the approach I take when I write, is like, I want to be able to go, damn, I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
Right.
I don't care if anyone else does, man, I like that. And that's kind of when I would listen to that song. I like the whole thing. When I hear the end, it always kind of gives me a little bit of goosebumps. Just I'm like, man, that part's really sick.
I love that as the outro. And while it sounds like we both kind of picked the favorite part, I was going to ask you as my last question, as like, why did you pick this song to be the song you wanted to talk about today?
It goes back a little bit to how I approached the track list order. I always believe that after an intro or track one, song two should just be just something that I feel like is your best overall sounding song, the best, like something that would get the crowd into it right away as soon as they heard the first note. That don't, like,
sure,
a lot of songs don't start fast. Like, you know, you'll go through an album, sometimes the song, the best part of the song don't start for like 2 minutes in, and you're dragging through that 2 minutes of I don't really like this or know this, but then, oh man, now this is sick.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know, that song, you're either going to like it or not right away. Right away, you're going to know this is sick or not. That's just...
Yeah, it doesn't waste any time getting to where it needs to be.
Like, if you like heavy synth and, like, bass, like, you know, droppy shit, like, it all happens right there. So either you're going to be like, damn, and keep listening, or you're going to say, fuck this shit and go to the next band you found online or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's...
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
And I think a lot of people may not expect this, but... If you have the opportunity to listen to this with a sub, do that, because there are
highly some recommended
definite low ends that you wouldn't necessarily get unless you have access to those lower notes.
Or just a set of headphones in general. Like, if you just listen to it straight off your phone, you're kind of missing out on what I wanted to deliver to you. You're going to hear like a real trebly kind of high end product where if you have subs or really good headphones with low end, like, that's what I'm trying to get across.
I've listened to them in earbuds, and then I listened to them on my system here, which has the sub, so
sure,
that was when I was like, oh, there it is.
Yeah,
because like there's just
it changes for sure, because I had a couple buddies I showed, and they checked it on their phone. I'm like, you checked it on your phone? I'm like, dude, listen to it. And I was, they're like, oh, okay, yeah, no, this is way different out of something that gives you the low end. But yeah, I just feel like if there was going to be a single off this album, I believe that I would choose this song. Maybe song 3, Lunatics, but it was kind of a toss. I felt those are my two, like, almost front to back, most well-polished, well-round, I don't know. And then Initiation was kind of the first track I wrote when it started doing all this. Besides the intro, of the album was something I wrote a while ago. And then I put all the Police Scanner and all the other fancy shit on it. But Initiation was like the first song that I wrote all the drums for. Then I bought the bass app and I wrote all the bass and guitar and all that shit. And once that song was final without any vocals, that's basically where I said, okay, I'm going to do a whole album. Once that song was like a song, no vocals.
Yeah.
I said, dude, this is pretty sick. And then I started fucking around with vocals a little bit, but just... not really saying words, just grunting and yelling and screaming over it. I'm like, man, I gotta write some lyrics for this to really see how it's gonna sound. And then I came up with lyrics a little bit for that first. There weren't the final lyrics that I used for this song, but I just came up with some shit to test it out. It kind of like fueled a little fire under me. I was like, dude, I want to just keep going with this. And
cool,
wound up, you know, where I am.
Champagne Is Also a Band podcast is proud to support Jubilee Cafe. Jubilee Cafe is a free weekly meal program at Community United Church of Christ, 805 South 6th Street in Champaign, Illinois. Jubilee Cafe serves a home-cooked meal from 5 to 6:30 each Monday. Their mission is to feed hungry people by cooking healthy, delicious meals and by serving their guests restaurant style with servers waiting on tables. Jubilee Cafe is open to anyone who cares to eat with them. Because food insecurity among students is so high, they serve students as well as others in and around the Champaign-Urbana community who struggle with hunger. Meals are free to all and will be served each Monday evening. Located in the accessible lower level of the building at 6th and Daniel Streets in Champaign. For more information on the meal or how to volunteer, go to the Jubilee Cafe CUCC Facebook page or email them at jubilee.cafe@community-ucc.org. That's jubilee.cafe@community-ucc.org. Welcome back, Andrew. What is your favorite Champaign-Urbana venue?
Truth be told, I've only been to like maybe 4 or 5 house shows, like just in random houses that I could not even damn tell you where the hell they were at this point. I mean, I've been to Canopy once. I truthfully don't have a lot of experience here when it comes to the like music venues and stuff, unfortunately.
Everybody has to start somewhere, and hopefully, I mean, really, you're just going to have to get out there. I feel like there's a lot of great places that you can find hardcore stuff. And not that it's often, but you can find it at over at the Gallery Art Bar. They'll have that. They can have it over at Rose Bowl. C4A has some hardcore shows. And not only Urbana, but in Champaign, the space is also having
I've heard about hardcore shows. The last kind of local thing that I've seen was almost unintentional, and I didn't know it was happening. So there was a skate jam at Spalding like a couple weeks ago, and there was like three or four bands playing there. Yep. I mean, that's obviously not a venue, and you know, whatever. Like, that's, it was cool to see bands playing at the skate park. You know, they were somewhat heavy in certain parts, so I was digging. I honestly hate to say I couldn't tell you what the names of their bands were right now, but I enjoyed.
Right now, I'm only remembering one, and I think that was Brain Sex, and they actually played. The only reason I'm that's sticking out my mind. They play in the bowl.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, guys. I seen all your bands play, and I don't remember who you are, but it was a cool little event. So,
yeah. Well, honestly, though, I think there's something to be said for if you end up somewhere and there's music, there's musicians playing, and you don't even know who the hell they are, and yet they have an effect on you. Let that magic happen, you know. Sure. Let that random thing happen. I really want to make it out to the next. There's another jam session coming up, and I can't remember when it is, but check that out. It should be all on the socials if you're interested. What would make a good music scene?
I've always thought about that, but I believe most of the shit I write is in a very niche pocket, and that's what always made my approach for, you know, advertising who I am. And I've always kind of feel like I hit a wall there, because I create music in a very small box, and it's either you're gonna like this or you're gonna not. And like, I feel like you'd need a lot of people to really appreciate what they're listening to. I don't know. I feel like the scene is the most important, to have people coming out to your shows, willing to check you out. I always feel like I ran into that as the biggest roadblock, as being, you know, someone who creates music and wants people to find it out there or come see us play.
How does it translate from a group of individuals that all make music into something that is a community, right?
Like, because for me, in my current project, I am a soul, you know, I'm just a one-man dude, and I have no intention of playing live. So it's hard for me to even make connections out there, because I'm not needing to play anywhere.
Right.
Where back then in Disrupt the Abacus, we played out as much as we could, and you know, we played with a lot of local acts, a lot of great bands, a lot of great touring bands, and that it was cool, it was fun, and we were getting a name for ourselves because the momentum was behind us. You got to keep playing. I think that's the key to a good scene, is being present as the musician, finding as many places to be heard. It's not easy. Where my little one-man band niche genre sits, it is fucking almost impossible for me to think of how I'm never gonna play live as where I sit.
Right.
So how the hell do I market myself? Yeah. How the hell do I do that without, you know, either spending money on ads on Instagram and Facebook? That approach, which I never really liked that approach, and I don't like taking that approach. So it's like, it stems from word of mouth, help, you know, showing all your friends and hoping your friends give you that first shout out on social media and all that good shit. It's tough, because someone like me is starting from literally just being a guy. I'm just a dude writing music in my bedroom. I'm not shit, okay? And I still am not shit. It's just, how do you go from not shit to be putting yourself in people's worlds? I always thought that's the hardest damn part. You could have a million great albums. I could be sitting on 20 of the best albums ever heard, but they're not going to be heard. It doesn't matter.
It just depends on what you mean by matter. But I mean, to actually have more than just yourself listen to it, you've got to be able to get connections and like people that listen to it, that tell other people to listen to it and appreciate it. So,
because I could entertain myself forever with my own music. I'm not worried about that. At the end of the day, I wanted other people to listen to it and be like, wow, I really enjoy this, or not. I just want you to take that time out of your day to put it in for 5 seconds and appreciate it or not. And that's all I could ask for anyone, really. You don't like it, you don't like it. You do. Besides the Andros video game covers, like, that's more just fun, and I'm not like, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just, I took a Waning Rain a little more seriously. I wanted it to feel like a real project. Like, if someone came across and like, wow, this is a real thing.
Yeah.
It's not just some idiot in his bedroom fiddling around on a MIDI controller and whatever, you know, like yeah. That's kind of what my Andros projects are. I wanted the Waning Rain to literally sound like a band at the end of the day. Like, if you listen to it, you're not sitting there like, where you may know it's MIDI drums, that's fine, but like, you're not thinking about it as you listen to it. You put it on, like, just someone that doesn't know music just puts it on, listens to it. I want them to think this is a band, not one guy doing seven things separately.
And it is nice that we do have the technology now that we can do
now.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
And honestly, it used to be, you know, if you did do that, you'd be messing around with like a Tascam 4-track
yep.
analog and trying to make that happen with that technology. But now it's almost as if you've got an entire studio with, you know, as long as you have enough RAM or enough storage, you could have like infinite tracks.
You could buy whatever you want. You could buy any virtual instrument and just be whatever you want, as long as you know how to program it to an extent.
You know, you have to make that jump from the virtual, like you're creating these things, it's getting put out there that anyone could listen to that has access to the internet.
Because it's like a hybrid approach. It's half being a guitar player. It's actually less than half. It's like 20% being a guitar player, a not good guitar player, mind you, and then just fiddling around on a computer. Like, you're not really being a, because that term musician gets lost for me there. Like, because I'm not really playing any instruments besides my guitar and my voice.
Mm.
And if you consider your voice an instrument, because it is, but then.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's hard. I hate telling people I'm a musician because it's like,
well
I'm a guitar player.
See, it's funny because in a certain way, your reticence to say that you're a musician is in fact the ultimate symptom of being a musician. So I'm just going to say, sorry to be reductive, but it proves itself by that rule. But I think musicianship is really about intention, right? Do you want to make music? Do you create music? No matter how, whether it's easy for you, whether it's hard for you, whether it's simple, whether it's complex, I feel like that doesn't matter. It's just creating music, right? So,
but it also steps into the territory of composer and then producer. So it's like, yeah. I'm composing and producing and playing an instrument, but then also like, it's like,
do you have to play in order to be a musician?
I don't believe so. I think your brain can definitely come up with stuff. I come up with shit all the time that I'll never in a million years pick up anything and do. It's never gonna happen. Never. But my brain will come up with shit. I'm like, man, I wish I could play that. I wish I could play that right now, but I can't. But yeah, if I had another guitar player here who's just insane, I could probably mouth it to them and have them figure it out.
I get it. And I think in some ways that's the appeal of being able to do something in MIDI, because you can kind of program that. Yeah.
But you're everything. Like, you're producing,
yeah,
you're composing, and you're like, it's going back and forth between this three-man job, which is, it's nerve-wracking at sometimes, it's frustrating at sometimes, but it's also very rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
Very rewarding once you could finally do something without the help of any other person and like listen to something like, wow, no one came in here and helped me do that at all.
Right.
Cool. It feels good, you know what I'm saying? But I also,
it's definitely one of those things that, you know, I think when you're creating things in that way, it's very hard to get people to notice what you're doing. Even if you were the best, it would be very, very hard to have people notice. Just go out and see more bands doing that kind of thing and starting a conversation, and then people will know, you know, because you appreciate their work. They appreciate your work, that kind of thing. I don't know.
No, for sure. Anyway, you're correct.
I mean, everybody has to start somewhere, and it's like, you just have to start going to things. But it's like, how do you know about the things that you're supposed to know about? So it's just, at some point, you just start doing it. But yeah, definitely.
For me, in Chicago, it was different. I mean, I feel like there's a lot more want for this kind of music in a lot of those little neighborhoods. Huh. I don't know. It's
interesting.
It's different here. It's just different here. But not saying that the music scene here is really awesome. Just, I don't feel like the metal scene here is very awesome. And that's okay. Yeah. I accepted that a long time ago. And I feel like without being involved in it, actively out there pushing my band and product and like getting other Yeah. I'm so like stuck in my bedroom world of being a musician. It's hard for me to make those connections right now. And it has been because I'm not trying to play anywhere. I can't. Like if you were a drummer right now, you're like saying, let's make a Waning Rain happen. I'm down. It's just,
I know.
It's a big responsibility because now we have to learn a sound.
Yeah.
And we have to perfect that sound and then now play that sound. Like it's just a thing. It's a whole thing, you know, and where I'm willing, I'm not. There's like, I'm like, it's just so much effort and time and money and all that good shit.
Yeah.
You know exactly what I mean.
I agree with you that I wish that there was a larger metal scene. But I'm also going to add that I think I think it could be a lot bigger, but I think it's probably bigger than you think that it is.
That's what I'm saying. For sure. And I know it exists. Yeah. I'm just not informed enough to either I'll love those bands or not. Where they may be metal, it may not fit my. I'm weird, dude. It's just the way it is. I like what I like, and other shit I may appreciate, I may not want to hear that.
Because
metal's so broad.
Yes.
You could take a million, like literally there's infinite approaches to the genre. And it's like, I feel like out of every genre and encompassing all of music, this one is the most complicated to see eye to eye with you're going to like what you like. You're going to like what you like. I'm going to like what I like. And our metal opinions are never going to be.
Yeah.
The exact same, and it's just how it is. It's just how it is.
true.
And I've accepted that a long time ago. It's just, you know what you want to hear, and you also know what you don't want to hear after a while.
Champagne is Also a Band podcast is proud to support Exile on Main Street. Exile on Main Street, located in the old train station building at 100 North Chestnut Street in downtown Champaign, has been helping to build record collections since 2004. Carrying a wide array of new and used LPs, CDs, and video games, Exile on Main Street has something for just about any music enthusiast and old school gaming devotee. Exile also hosts regular free live music shows on its stage, so be sure to check out their Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages for the up-to-date details on the next upcoming event. Open 7 days a week, they can be reached by phone at 217-398-MAIN. That's 217-398-6246. Welcome back. So, Andrew, what is your favorite non-musical thing or things?
Well, I like to spend a lot of time disc golfing when the weather's nice. Obviously, our winter sucks, so we get a lot of that time taken away from us every year, but I love to disc golf. Got a lot of my friends up north we like to play, so I go up to Chicago every few weeks and check out different courses, throw discs, get outside for once, you know. I'm a huge gamer, so that's eats up a lot of my inside time when I'm not writing music. I like to play just about any kind of video game. I have every damn system there is, so it's just how it is these days.
I'm curious, have you gone down to there's a spot in Kickapoo?
Excellent little course. Yep. Yeah. They I never seen the old one, but they redid it last year, I believe, and it's just real nice little course, probably one of my favorite ones around here.
Do you have any, so besides that one, is there other favorite courses that you like? Or
we don't got a lot of options around here but we got two in Champaign-Urbana. One's at Parkland and one's at Loman Park. And
wait, there's one at Parkland? I didn't know that.
At Dodds, it's like behind all the baseball field. The diamond of baseball diamonds that they have there. It's like by the Olympic monument wall thingy. Honestly, sorry guys, I think that course is complete dog shit. it's a very difficult course in terms of everything is very far from each other. They're very long throws, and it's just not designed in my interests. It's just too boring. I don't know.
So is it kind of it's the analog of like a Lynx course, because there's no trees, or there are trees. No, it's open, isn't it?
like, there's another little nine-hole course in Loman Park, and that course is excellent. It's beautiful. It's got a bunch of different shots. There's just, the vibes are there. People are going to hate me for this, but Dodds is just dog shit. It's just...
Gotcha.
It's just not fun. I don't know. I've been playing disc golf for a long time, and that's the only course I've ever visited out of like 50 plus courses where I say, this is just not fun. This just isn't fun. Like, everything is just so far. There's so much walking, and like, I don't know, you kind of just are throwing an open field, and then basket, open field. Like, there's maybe four or five holes where it really feels like it's a different course. The rest is just, I don't know.
How did you get into disc golf? Or is it just, you know, people that...
Well, I grew up in Chicago, South Side. It wasn't a thing growing up. No one ever heard of it until probably, I want to say, like mid-2000s. I feel like someone may have showed it. Sorry, whoever taught me about disc golf. I can't think of who you are right now. But I wound up playing through someone and getting obsessed, and then trying to get as many people I knew into it, and it kind of worked. So most of my friends in Chicago, we love to play disc golf. But I haven't met too many buddies out here who like to play, unfortunately. So I'm stuck going north all the time.
I know a few people, just, you know.
I'll play with them, that's fine.
Yeah, a lot
of video games.
Are you a particular type of video game, or is it just like...
Mainly an RPG guy. I play a lot of MMOs. Final Fantasy is my favorite franchise, probably out of all of them. Then Mega Man when it comes to...
Okay.
Big franchise games, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's all, I've always loved just long adventures, grindy games where you just have to, you just lose your whole day just getting stuck doing shit.
To be honest, I haven't played a Mega Man since the Nintendo Entertainment System back in the day, the original Mega Man, which I need to figure out a good way to get a decent emulator that uses that original controller.
We'll handle this off air. I got you. Don't worry. Okay.
Well, and what's really funny is that there are a bunch out there that are for sale, but then if you read the video games that they have available, and you're like, oh, ew. Like, it's like Merga Man. You know, like, it's like a complete knockoff, and it probably is going to be awful, and it's like, Merga Man 1, Merga Man 2. And it's just like not, it's completely a knockoff. Like, what was it? The Simpsons is like, we've got them all here. Magnet Box and Sorny.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like some flea market junk. Yeah. It's pretty much what it is.
Oh, awesome.
No, yeah. I'll hook you up. I'll point you in the right direction.
Very cool. Because, I mean, honestly, one of my favorite systems that I had was probably the GameCube. I actually thought was really, it just worked well. Like, everything worked well.
Controller was good. Yep.
And then something happened with like that. Not that I'm completely all Nintendo, but I've always enjoyed their style of games.
Sure.
But like the Wii, just, they lost control of all of the types of games that they had. And so just like, you got such a variation of decent games anyway.
Sure.
That's a whole different different like thing for me to get all bent out of shape 100% about.
100% same here.
But yeah, so I mean, that's I remember, you know, any of those I enjoyed the left and right scroll games, but I also the first person, isn't that right? So like Doom and
just first person shooters.
First person.
I think those are called boomer shooters nowadays, the Doom type.
What is it?
Boomer shooter.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Not like generation boomer.
Yeah,
like, no.
They're called boomer shooters.
Oh yeah. God.
Well, anything from like that Wolfenstein, Doom, like just where you see like that kind of Quake, all that shit.
I feel like, I'm sorry, but maybe, you know, just being,
it's just
being
a term,
Generation X, yeah. I take some, I take exception to that. I mean, yeah,
I don't like
think
the term,
of those
but that's,
Gen X. I'm sorry, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I got you.
I mean, so those are the games that we were able to, like, we would go to the computer lab in college and connect all of LAN, the
everything.
Computers.
Yep.
And it was like, sorry. Our favorite was, we'd pick a level on Duke Nukem, and then we'd play against each other. Yep. Oh my gosh.
Excellent
that was
game.
Like the...
Excellent. I mean, it's along the time, almost, about, you know, the GoldenEye kind of feel.
Yeah.
Where you're just...
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, those are like the sweet spot of like what I remember
For sure.
And maybe that does make me the old man that's just like, hey, back man. In my day, we had a shooter and we liked it.
Dude, you know? I'm with you there. Trust me.
Awesome. Well, Andrew, like, thank you so much for being on the show and telling me about your song and album Initiation, telling me about just getting into the Champaign Urbana music scene, like getting your feet wet. And I hope that you get to enjoy that a little bit more. And then just telling me about your favorite non-musical things. So thank you so much for coming out
here. Hey, thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed being here. Thank you for listening to Champaign Is Also a Band podcast. This is Andros reminding you great music is out there. Go find it where you live. Your whole day just getting stuck doing shit.
That's a wrap.
Champaign is also a band.
You almost have an NPR voice. It's so good.
To Hava Studio, South Baker, on the inside.
Andrew Waning, who is, and I did it, Wainer, God. Okay.
You're good. You're good, bro.
Okay. Let's see. Andrew
Wainer.
Yes. I just needed a second to think about it.
It's all good.